It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking the topic of conversation, I was set up. And I think we could probably all think of a time, maybe you were driving a little too fast on the road, and all of a sudden you come across the cop who was parked, you know, didn't have their lights on, or we've all probably felt like we got ourselves caught in a trap a time or two, right, Jeff?
I just, last week, set myself up. When I got my PJs out and put them on that night, I didn't close the cabinets. When I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, didn't want to turn the lights on because, you know, you don't want to wake up the wifey, right? So what did I do? I walked square into that stupid cabinet door, set myself up for a trap for later. You know, I just completely didn't think about the future. I just was trying to be quick and dirty and get my pants on and go to bed.
Ouch. I can think of a time, not myself being set up, but I can think of a time back in when I was in high school that me and a few friends set up a few of our other friends. And there was this old abandoned house that's, I don't know, it's out in the country, kind of the middle of nowhere. And we had went and kind of explored it. And we decided we're going to get these guys to come with us out here and like meet them here. And then devise this plan to absolutely scare the pants off.
This sounds like snipe hunting.
It's me and my two other buddies. We get like these bed sheets. The one dude's going to lay on the ground. He's got like red food coloring on him. So he's like going to be like in a bed sheet and blood. We invite there's four other guys that were going to come with us. And we had this whole plan of why we weren't going to all go together, but we were going to meet them there. And I was like, we got to, one out of these four dudes that are going to come along is going to figure this out. Like, he's a smart, calculated dude. He's going to pick up on like, nah, something's off about this. And I'm like, we need to get him involved in the plan. So they're like, no, he's not going to figure it out. And we're getting ready to go. We're texting back and forth with them. We always called this kid Carrot. He had red hair. Not the kid I'm talking about. Yep. We're texting back and forth and telling him like, yeah, they're going to meet us and yada, yada. And one of the other guys is texting back and he's like, ah, Carrot's not sure. He doesn't know if he wants to go. And I was like, I told you guys, he's going to figure this out. So we start texting him and telling him like, hey, here's what we're doing. And he gets in on it. And
now he wants to go.
Well, yeah, because now he knows what's up.
Right.
So he's all right with it.
He smelled the trap.
Uh-huh. But now he's like, oh, all right. Well, I'm not going to be in the trap. I'm a part of the trap.
Right.
So we get there. We're all set up. My one buddy's outside because when they get there, he's hiding like off into the trees. As they go into the house, he's going to take their keys. So when they run out afraid, they're not going to have anywhere to go. I'm at the top of the steps. This other dude's at the bottom of the steps in the bed sheet. And they come running in. And I jump out and go, ah! And they look down and see this dude in the blood on the food coloring. They go running out of there. Ah! Get back to the car. No keys. And then they cursed us, you know, in the ensuing few minutes.
And then everybody gets a laugh out of it. Yeah. It's like, all right, you got me.
Oh.
I like it when you're set up in a way that everyone's laughing at the end.
Yeah, it doesn't always go like that. Yes. And, I mean, how often, and just like little pranks like that, that you have no intention of things
going seriously
wrong, do they somehow end up going seriously wrong in just some way that nobody ever anticipated, right?
A few moments later, when you go to the doctor and he comes to you and says, hey, look, I'm checking you out and I see this thing on your face and it looks like cancer. We can do a real simple scrape right now and clean that off its surface right now. It's just the top layer of your skin, but it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have road rash on your face, or we can wait and let it progress.
Well, I usually like to, I think the best philosophy is when you get it like biopsied, that way you get it good and opened up to spread, to find out what it is before they just go ahead and take it off.
Right.
Instead of just like, oh, you could just cut it off right now. Well, yeah, I could, but let me just open it up first and then see what it is to see if I need
to. It's contained and now you're going to open it up. I don't get that. I listen, women, I love you, but why do you let your doctor say, I found a lump in your breast. Let's go and poke a hole in it and see what happens. And then the balloon of whatever that is deflates into your system, spreads the cancer everywhere. They go, yeah, you know, we should remove that and half of it's gone.
Or regardless, whatever it was is just spread into your bloodstream.
Right. Because right now in present, your body has contained it. Right? Hmm. Why did you open it up and then spread it? Come on, man.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Your bathroom's a great example. We all use it. And when there's a certain number two we do, it doesn't smell real nice. You don't open your doors up and turn your fan off so that it spreads through the house. Why would you do it with cancer? Anyway. Huh.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all can fathom that there are people who are trying to set us up. And we've probably had people who were very smart, very intelligent, very manipulative, who were trying to bring about a result that they preferred and wanted us to ourselves make decisions that led to that. And so they gave us a breadcrumb trail of decisions that would lead to that and pressures on the side that would ensure that we would stay on that path to make it happen. As a believer, you know, we think of it this way in the spiritual. There's a God who is for us, who is with us, who is working ahead of us and wants good things for us. Mm-hmm. There's an enemy, a spiritual enemy, the devil, a fallen angel, who on the opposite side is trying to destroy us and to work against us and to deprive us of the good things God wants for us. So you got one trying to build a wonderful future for you and one trying to destroy you in the present and the future. And when you're aware of that, it does change who you're going to hopefully listen to. You shouldn't be listening to the enemy trying to destroy you. You should be leaning into the one trying to build you and give you what is best, right?
Well, it's ultimately either you that's building or tearing down, right? I mean, you know, I'm leaning into more of these thoughts and ideas, and that's kind of what convinced me to do these things to begin with. But ultimately, it was you who either built or tore down.
It's a setup, right? We can understand there are outside people and pressures and entities that are trying to set us up for good or for bad. What are you setting yourself up for? Imagine present you is going to set up future you for success tomorrow or for destruction. What would you do today to get Tyler set up for success tomorrow?
I guess it just depends on in what aspect you're talking.
Right. I totally agree. Like, for example, I was for future Jeff, who's going to be pressed on time tomorrow. I know I am. I got my schedule and it's going to be rough. I'm going to go ahead on the way home and I'm going to stop and get gas today. So I don't have to worry about that on Wednesday or Thursday, let alone Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and do it now. And I'm going to thank myself in the past. I'm so glad that I did this on Monday because, man, my week is getting crazy on Tuesday. We got sleet and snow and ice coming Wednesday. And it's going to last till Thursday, Friday, and we might lose power. And I'm going to be glad that at least I have a full tank of gas.
I suppose, even though you're not going nowhere, but yeah. At least you got it.
Today, I'm going to utilize the technology that I've already bought in my coffee pot. I'm going to program the time, and I'm going to tell it to turn on at 5:45, where my coffee is normally made by my wife at 6. I'm going to surprise her and me, right? I'm going to be like my butler. I'm going to go ahead and get it all set up. I'm going to pre-arrange it all so that when she wakes up tomorrow, don't tell her, okay, guys?
You're already going to have her a cup of coffee.
The coffee's already brewed. She's just got to pour it.
Ah.
But I'm going to set it up to go ahead and brew.
Got it.
I'm seriously doing this tomorrow. Like today for right. Tomorrow, I'm setting her up and me up for success.
Got it.
So my point is,
for your caffeine addictions.
That's a whole other discussion.
Well, he says.
But what I'm trying to say is, what are you doing today, intentionally or not, to set yourself up for success or failure? Because I can tell you there's also things that I've done, that I'm doing, that are predisposing me to failure.
Yeah.
And can you imagine if we all intentionally stop setting ourselves up for failure and simultaneously moved in and said, you know what, though, I can also set myself up for success. What if we were to audit? Now, I don't want to get into specifics for you, but I want you and myself and our whole podcast world, because I want everyone to succeed. What can you do today in a small thing? So you give me something. I told you I'm doing coffee tomorrow. I'm doing coffee for tomorrow. Okay. What can you do today that will set Tyler up tomorrow for success?
We actually just started this new devotional, and last night was the first one we did, and the lesson was all about the powers of the tongue and the weaponization of the tongue can speak life and death.
Right.
And I think something we all could probably work on, myself especially, is keeping emotional control, for one, and two, not allowing yourself to let things fly out of your mouth that you know would rather take back later on, or to maybe speak out of turn or speak about something you don't have actually any clue about, come to find out that I just think our words, we're quick to use them versus it gave this, what's that called, an ad hominem? Ad hominem, yes.
Yeah, there we go. When you attack the person, not the situation, or the...
Okay, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay, it gave the word think, and then it gave a, basically the T was for, before I speak, are my words true? The H was, are they helpful?
Oh, acrostic, where each letter stands for a certain...
So in the devotional, it gave us basically a word that was spelled out, and each of the letters kind of meant something. And what it was trying to design to get you to do was to basically think before you speak. And the word was think, and it stood for, before you speak, are your words true? Are they helpful? Are they inspiring? Are they necessary? Or are they kind? Hmm. So, you know, I kind of thought, wow, that's a really great way to start to think of, if I can't check off one of these boxes before I'm going to say something, I probably don't need to say it.
I like that.
Me too. It really, like, when I heard it, I was like, man, that's good.
Can you imagine the drama that you would eliminate in your life?
Everybody.
If you could just keep your mouth shut. Sure. What was that saying that your mama said when you were little? If you got nothing nice to say.
Don't say nothing at all.
And that's really what it comes down to, is it's not just nice, but beneficial. If it's not helpful.
Exactly.
If it's not building. Then
sometimes, I mean, even the truth. Like, the truth isn't always nice.
Even if in the moment it's hurtful, it could be in the long term beneficial.
Sure.
It's nice when you can do things that are helpful today and tomorrow. But right. That's not always the case. Most of the things that we're going to do are about future me, not present me. You are denying yourself of pleasure for future you. I'm going to support tariffs today because it will bring back industry in 5 years that will...
Maybe even less.
I'm just being general.
Yeah, sure.
In 5 years where we will feel the impact of the prosperity that will permeate our society.
For generations.
Yes, and prices for everything goes down because manufacturing has come back and we stop being a service economy.
But that also doesn't mean there isn't some short-term pain.
Yeah, in the present. Yes.
In the process of working that out. I also believe, along with the weaponization of the tongue and things I'm personally going to be working on, I think there's also a way in which how we say things that could also make a complete difference. Like, for example, if I was like, man, hey, Jeff, you're really being a real a-hole today, right? Like, you might take real offense to that.
An airhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, an airhead. That's right. Versus if I was like, hey, man, you're a little spicy today. Like, what's going on? Tone it down a little.
You've said that to me before.
Oh, well, oops.
So you were thinking I was an airhead and you were trying to get me to chill out.
Just take a little chillax.
Yeah, yeah. How'd you say it? Because I think you did. You said spicy and then you're like, you're a little wound up today.
See? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
See how you can be nice about it.
A nice way that's to nudge me and say, and but you were also, but you also were trying to figure out, are you upset about something?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, because sometimes, obviously, we get upset, we get a little cranky,
like,
right?
What's going on? Yeah, like, mm-hmm. What's up? So that makes perfect sense.
Right. I think there is a way to say things that you could present that as, like, wow, man, that's like, you're going to take offense. And also, you could say the same thing in a different phrase to where you're like, you know, you're more opened up to explain what's going on.
That would be life-changing, though, just in your own home, if you were to be careful about, again, not being guarded's the wrong word, just being more careful and selective about, mm-hmm. Is this helpful? Am I building or am I destroying? And listen, mm-hmm. There's times some things need to be destroyed.
You thinking like the Federal Reserve or what you talking about?
Well, if we get into government, well, we'll be here all day, But I'm saying,
Doge.
Like, for example, sometimes your kids misbehave and they need correction. Mm-hmm. And so you are trying to destroy a bad behavior, not your child, but destroy a appetite or desire to do what they should not do. And so you've got to demonstrate to them why this is destructive and you need to stop and pursue this instead. So that should be destroyed. So there is a time for correction, even if it's ourselves.
Sure.
Back to what you just said is, it's helpful, it's just not helpful necessarily or felt like it didn't feel good in the present, but it will in the future. You've got a God in this world who's good and who wants and is trying to give you good things. Doesn't it make sense for you to position yourself to be able to receive and walk down that path? And at the same time, understand there's an enemy who wants to destroy you and to not position yourself to walk down his path.
Absolutely. I also think it makes complete sense to maybe the average person who's like, you know, I always hear people say, well, God's with me. God talks to me, this and that, but I don't ever feel anything like that. And I think when you start to acknowledge and understand and invite God into your life, you start to, I guess I would say, I think God communicates with each person differently.
It's hard to miss God when you're walking his path. It's easy. Yes. It's easy to miss God when you're not.
Sure. And I mean, but he might show you something in a way that like isn't going to click to me. I'm not going to get it, but he might show me in a totally different way that's not going to click to you.
That's true. I'm just saying that, yeah. Well, my wife was speaking to me today and I had these earbuds in. It wasn't that my wife wasn't speaking to me.
You just couldn't hear it.
God is speaking. God is working in our life. Our problem is we're on a different channel.
Sometimes we might just hear some noise in the background, but never actually take the time to listen to what's actually being said. Yeah, right, tune in what's being said.
And in fact, what we're doing is we're saying to the person who's trying to tell us about the good things God's planning, doing, and saying, they're going, oh, I can't hear that. I'm listening to this guy over here, my enemy, who's trying to destroy my life.
Because it makes more sense in the moment.
Right. Or for what? Because the devil, when he gives whatever his thing is to you, he never says, this is going to ruin you. It always comes as your friend, as something you want, an addiction, a pleasure, a short-term feel-good that you don't realize is a trap. Mm-hmm. If you're not savvy to his techniques, you think he is helping you. He is your friend. In fact, you see the Christian saying, hey, check this out. And it's the exact opposite. You're going, no, that doesn't meet with my present desire and pursuit of pleasure in this moment. It's like, okay. And you're like, in fact, your whole God thing's a hoax and blah, blah, blah. He's your crutch. And so they're not only listening to the enemy, but they are making excuses why they should continue to listen to the enemy who's trying to destroy them.
That's a tough internal battle sometimes.
Isn't it?
Not necessarily from
for all of us.
Sometimes just convincing yourself that, well, yeah, I don't want to listen to the metaphoric devil on my shoulder per se, who's like, well, yeah, just go ahead and do that. Versus the like, yeah, you sure? You sure you want? You sure it's a good idea?
It's gonna take you off this path. Do you really want a detour right now? I mean, look how good things are going. You're almost there.
We just went pee like 20 minutes ago. We got to get off at the next exit again.
Don't you want to get to the vacation?
Just get me to the beach already. I think the most important question, though, is ultimately, since it's you that's taking the action, who are you working for?
Right. You're making decisions every day going in one of those two directions. Be intentional.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.